and who was appointed to the Middle East because they were interviewed and appointed by this committee quite recently. And I'm actually very grateful that the committee recommended the two board members who have been absolutely helpful thus far. I also have the very passionate and enthusiastic Mr. William Maloy, who is our acting CEO, who is seconded by the DOC. And of course, we also have the acting DG, Mr. Tabasuchi, with us.
The DG be a team?
No, certainly not, but for accounting purposes. He's quite confused. Thank you. We've been asked by the committee, and we are grateful for the opportunity to share a few thoughts, a presentation to the committee on a study that was commissioned by the MDDA, which was done by Media Monitoring Africa, where they carried out an impact study into the MDDA. The brief of the study is largely twofold. First, it was to reflect and evaluate the extent to which the MDDA is responding to its mandate of community media development. And the second is to describe the impact of the MDDA-funded projects in terms of how they have made a difference in the communities that they serve. I'll briefly go through the methodology that was adopted, a few introductory comments, then we'll deal with the key findings, the key recommendations, and the key lessons, concluding with the way forward. If I start with the methodology that was used, which was both qualitative and quantitative, where desktop research, surveys, focus groups, seven experts, and MDDA internal staff and management were interviewed by the body that did the study. The study scope briefly covered the impact of the agency's financial and non-financial support, challenges faced by the MDDA in meeting its mandate, adequacy of funding models, adequacy of internal processes and procedures in terms of resources, both human and financial, whether community media projects contribute to media development and diversity and socioeconomic development at local level, and it also dealt with the impediments affecting the MDDA in supporting these projects. Now, as an introduction, there is a lot of anecdotal evidence that the MDDA internally and other industry bodies had, which this study has confirmed. And briefly, it was important for the MDDA board to get an independent body to really test this, as opposed to us merely moving from anecdotal evidence. These points could be, and this is in summary, I must say that the actual research report is 96 pages. I do not know if it has been shared with the committee, so this is merely a summary of that. Now, the anecdotal evidence between the MDDA and stakeholders has generally been that the MDDA has made significant impact on transforming the media landscape through the number of community and small commercial media projects funded, the majority of which are still in existence. The MDDA's internal challenges, such as stability of leadership and capacity issues, detract from its ability to deliver on its mandate. Greater focus is required by the MDDA on partnerships and collaboration with the entities and sector bodies, crucial to strengthening the sector. The MDDA needs to review its approach on both funding and disbursing funds. External challenges, which we'll touch upon, hinder the sustainability and further growth of the sector. Technological challenges, the fourth industrial revolution, are wreaking havoc in the industry, meaning the MDDA funding regulations are largely then outdated. Having said that, there have been certain limitations in the impact study which were identified, and I want to deal with those now before we deal with the key findings. The limitations to the impact study were identified as follows. The methodology that was used is that the interviews really dealt with existing MDDA projects. We do know that there are other major projects which are not MDDA funded, which then possibly could have been interviewed and had some insight in how they are sustainable or not sustainable in order to create that contrast and give us that information. Some projects were, of course, unwilling to be interviewed. This is not in the space that you deal with. This is not untowards or not normal. For instance, I'm just making an example. When we dealt with Sona, we asked a lot of community media projects to, you know, to be accredited in order to deal with, you know, the processes here, and some of them simply said, will they be paid to be here? So, you know, you deal, that's the type of crowd you are dealing with. Findings, and I'm dealing with weaknesses, could not be triangulated within each community. That's the latter part of the research, where it was quite brief on the actual impact that community media has made in the community, as opposed to the sustainability of the projects themselves. Another issue is that there is no pre-existing baseline for comparative purposes. However, by obviously commissioning this very research, one then has to say that this then begins to start that baseline study so that we can compare going forward, because we did not have a baseline study before. Again, strategic direction for additional critical areas of research were identified by this commissioning of this impact study. So the MDDA will possibly then embark on detailed analysis of impact of media projects in communities, analysis of relevance and extent of local content, community media ownership patterns, environmental readiness for community media, and digitalization. With those introductory comments, I'll move to key findings, which we have gleaned from the report. The community media sector has grown exponentially since 1994, which bodes well for media development and diversity. The MDDA has been able to carry out different aspects of its mandate to a greater or lesser degree. Through grant funding, the MDDA has channeled resources to community and small commercial media sector, contributing to the expansion of ownership and control, as well as access by media of historically disadvantaged communities. This is evidenced by the burgeoning community media and small commercial media, radio audiences reaching 25% of South African audiences comparatively, print media being read by over 7 million people weekly, community TV, which has not had the same success, but attracts about 9.5% of South African adults. Another key finding, which is quite critical for the MDDA, is that media, through community media, published or broadcast, is done so in all indigenous languages, reflecting the diversity of our country demographics. Training and capacity building interventions have been rolled out to support projects that have experienced gaps. Despite this progress, there have been limitations, both external and within the MDDA, which have impacted the sector negatively, and a number of projects have folded, although the majority are still ongoing. If we deal with the MDDA's own internal limitations, the budget is restrictive, and that's half the amount recovered to service all the proposals is really utilized. laws and regulations determining how funding is to be allocated are also restrictive, thus restraining training and capacity building, which is identified as a core need and only receives a fraction of the amount. The funding criteria, as in the Act, is rather vague, and media projects are not required to demonstrate how they will be self-sufficient once the funding from the MDDA has been has ended. The impasse with government and commercial sector to secure advertising to support these projects has yet to be resolved. This is a very critical point. Internally, the MDDA has been weakened by staff capacity issues in responding to challenges, as there have been many senior manager posts that remain vacant to this day. Board members change for personal and other reasons, change frequently, contributing to organizational instability. Systems such as pre-assessment, monitoring and evaluation require revision as early warning mechanisms when projects fail to implement contract obligations. So we tend to find that we learn quite late when a project is going to fold, as opposed to getting those early warning signals in order to intervene. There's also, just internal factors, but there are also external factors that one needs to deal with. So there are limitations in the media landscape itself. Media concentration in a few in the commercial sector is quite critical. Economically, South Africa is in recession, and this is according to the findings of the research, and there are ongoing retrenchments within commercial media industry, which shows that there are difficulties. Technology has further disrupted media industry, for good or for bad, with broadcasters moving to digital platforms and print media losing audiences to online media. The advertising industry has been exceptionally slow to transform. This is a dire impact on community media. There are many successes that community media does have, despite what has been outlined here. There's a long list of awards to community media projects. Those who have been in the sector long enough will remember a certain community newspaper that received an award, and the minister that gave the award at the award ceremony was exactly the minister that the newspaper had written about and received awards for not so long ago. A lot of content that is used in schools and universities, and even in matric exams, actually comes from community newspapers and community media. There's been a lot of success in training staff and volunteers and in creating job opportunities, although there's a huge debate in the evaluation and the numbers of the jobs that have been created. A large number of projects have been sustainable or have become sustainable over time. We'll deal with the common traits of those projects that have been sustainable over time later. Amongst the key recommendations, we start with the funding model. It is found that the MDDA needs to adopt different approaches to support its fundraising efforts and for grant dispersal activities. Government should increase its allocation to the community media sector, should there be money. Print media, and this possibly could be done through the Act, should be legally compelled, as you would find with broadcasting, to support MDDA in cash or in kind. New media, which, if we talk about convergence, might not have been envisaged in 2002 in the promulgation of the Act, needs to contribute to the development fund of the MDDA. Lobbying and advocacy initiatives need to be strengthened. When we deal with laws and regulations, MDDA regulations determining the percentages for different funding allocations must be reviewed as they are updated. There needs to be closer collaboration between ICASA and the MDDA to ensure media development and diversity targets are set collaboratively and reached. The community media sector itself, the MDDA should adopt a digital-first strategy, so the fourth industrial revolution really needs to be, and convergence needs to be, at the forefront of the MDDA and how it funds its budget. The MDDA needs to research, engage with community sector around the impact of these technological changes, highlighting key success models and failures. As you would know, this is still, even in commercial media, an ongoing issue. When it comes to government and stakeholder collaborations and partnership, we think, well, according to the study, there needs to be greater collaboration between government and stakeholders. Although it is critical that the independence of community media needs to be kept sacrosanct. The MDDA and ISASA partnership needs to be strengthened in order to deal with the technological advancements, in other words, convergence, which is a reality in the sector. Key recommendations, training and capacity building initiatives. There needs to be better and better matched training and capacity building. Ring fencing of budget allocations must be removed, which has really limited the MDDA in strengthening capacity building. Training needs assessment on current funded and potential future projects. With the MDDA's own governance and capacity issues, governance instability must be eliminated, senior management posts must be filled, and there needs to be some stability with regards to board members. Critical, MDDA Act should be reviewed to look at the powers, roles and responsibilities of the board vis-a-vis management and obviously the minister as the key part of the Act. A number of key lessons, and we have summarized them here, which you could find from the research report, is that the researchers looked at the common traits of the projects that are successful. Amongst the common traits of those projects is that they have a strong relationship with audiences and their immediate community. Collaborative management that is constantly finding new ways of ensuring sustainability of projects beyond government funding. You find that the station managers, the owners or editors in print media are highly skilled and have a passionate vision for their projects. And lastly, the socio-economic environment of that community is conducive to opportunities for sustainability. So the more impoverished the community is, the harder it is for the actual project to succeed. Also gleaned from the research report is the way forward. And again, this is a summary, some of these things which are ongoing. The long-term success of the sector requires that changes are made to strengthening the MDDA so that it's able to play a better role in bringing together project partners, allocating funds appropriately, training and development capacity for long-term sustainability of the sector. The findings of the impact study will be used as input into debate and define the strategic direction of the MDDA, which already is ongoing. The review and the proposed amendments of the MDD Act, the board has met in January and started discussing the process with regards to reviewing the Act. And of course, from the research itself, since there are no baseline studies that have been carried before, the way forward is also to further develop research initiatives by the MDDA to position it as a thought leader within the sector, community media sector, and the media sector broadly as a whole. As indicated, this is a mere summary of the research report. We, in general, are of the view, if you look at the brief, that of the two, which is one, reflect and evaluate the extent to which the MDDA is responding to its mandate of community media development. A lot of the research deals with that. The research is rather weak in describing the impact of the MDDA-funded projects in terms of how they've made a difference in the actual community. And that leg still needs to be strengthened, and that is something that we have earmarked for further research. I thank the committee for allowing us to briefly present. I will take questions and I will try and respond to the questions best I can, where my fellow board members and the acting CEO will assist to, I will indicate so at the time. Thank you very much.
All right. Any additional members of the board? Do you want the last MFA? And if he was presenting on your behalf as the collective, so is that okay? Okay. Remember, that's the presentation. Or you want, before you speak, you want me to, on behalf of the committee, to welcome you to MDDA as a board member. I know you last met us last year. It was not a very friendly environment. But thank you very much for making it to MDDA. I wish we can have a chairperson in MDDA, not distracting all the time. Yeah, but maybe soon we'll have a chair, because the minister must appoint the chair. I'm still talking to the members of the board, Fanteke. Don't intimidate these board members. But thanks a lot. Welcome to the committee. I'm sure you know all of us. Fanteke, that side. Next to her is Madisha. Next to Madisha is Machoba. And then next to Machoba is Kalako. I think we heard what I was saying earlier, that we lost two members. For the good, not necessarily the bad thing. It's for the good of the country. Now I will allow you, if you want to fill some gaps before questions. Now I can say Delatonia. last year I was saying Delatogna, and I was fossilizing your surname. Hey, over to you, ma'am.
Yes. So it might just be useful for the committee to understand that as a new board, we received this report late last year, shortly after we were sworn in towards the beginning of November. So I think what we found useful was some of the findings which reflected some of the challenges that had been raised even in the portfolio committee. And it helped us to prioritize some of the work that we've been doing. But I think, you know, it's not a definitive study. We recognize that it points to a lot of things, but it's just a base. It's the beginning. It's given us a good sense of what the views on the NDDA are. But I think some of the conversations we've had, even in the fledgling new subcommittees that we've started to form under the new board, have started to look at how, which of the findings are particularly useful, and where do we need to get a little bit more scientific about it, because I think the one thing that I think the report needs more of is quantitative information around real impact. So I think receive this report in that context, that it's previously commissioned work, it is, has its uses, we're not coming here to say it's perfect, but it gives us some sense of what the sector is saying about us, and that we will use it to deepen the research. And some of the findings we've already started to enact, you know, some of the recommendations.
Thank you. Are you okay, Ms. Baba? Are you fine?
Thank you, Chair. I think just to add, the report itself, I think it's fit for purpose. It's a landscape analysis for us to understand what is the current operating environment along which the MCDA operates in. And I think it's a good basis for us to further engage in future research as to what is the real impact of our project. We do know that we have made some value, some limited impact, but I think we would like to get some deeper insights, some more analysis. So it is a good report for now, but I think we do need to engage in further research going forward so that we can strengthen these findings. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Thanks a lot. We just wanted to hear that. I think this thing is ongoing. It's a good basis, as they are saying. But members will have to engage on it. Sharon? Are you Sharon? Veronica? The only one to be Sharon. Veronica Sandai?
I'm getting concerned here. Thank you, Chair. Chair, I cannot agree more with you that we need a permanent chair, but while we're on the topic of the chair, I want to ask you, what is the procedure that this committee is going to take with regard to the previous chair? There was definite accusations and proof of fraud and criminal behavior, and we need to know what we as a committee, we cannot just leave it there. So before I get to my questions, I would like you just to think about that.
Can I remind you, that we decided to investigate not only the chairperson of MDDA, the rest of what happened in MDDA. That was taken as a decision in this committee. So, but also, do you remember that during our oversight, we'll be visiting MDDA. It's forming part of the whole investigation. That's what we're going to do. We're starting to do with MDDA, so that we finish and take a decision on whatever wrongdoing that was done there. Happy?
Yeah, I just want to find out, except for the investigation that we as a committee are going to do, is there no other investigations?
Can we, in the process of investigation, come up with other? You see, when we start investigation, it will lay bare other things. And then we'll engage people equipped in dealing with those matters when we started investigation. So before starting it, I cannot say who are the other people that were involved in this investigation. Let's start it. and then after that we'll, Ezuko will employ services of other people who have a capacity to deal with all those matters.
Okay, I'm comfortable with that. The questions that I have arise from the following. I just want to know before I start, I would like to know the time frame in which this study was done. For me, it's a concern that there's no baseline. On slide 6, let me go back to slide... first, I want to say slide 4. It says that there's 46 projects. I was just wondering how old these projects were, because if there's no baseline, how do you compare what you're doing to what you want to achieve in future? I also saw on the report that three of the board members were the said chair again, and with the background, I'm just I have a concern on the input that was given, because for me, it's how it's just a concern that when you have allegations against you and you don't act upon the act of the NDDA, what type of input was really, I have concerns about the type of input that was put into this report. Slide 6, I had a concern about the unwillingness of the people that were interviewed, but it was also in a way cleared. But my problem is, if these people are funded by NDDA, why do they have a problem to actually be interviewed? I'm not sure if that is a thing. Also, the fact that there's no pre-existing baseline for comparative purposes on slide 6, that is really a concern. If you look how the interviews started in 2002, how is it possible that no research has been done previously to see what the problems or to have a something to compare it to what you want, as I said previously, want to achieve for this entity. There's also a point that I want clarity on. Why it says findings could not be triangulated within each of communities. This needs to be tested in future. Why is that? Then also slide 8 says that funding criteria are vague. NDDA has been weakened with staff capacity to respond to challenges poor, and it refers to the senior manager post remaining vacant, and the board members also being frequently contributing to organizational instability. And also the AG report also said that there was two referrals. It says that leadership, it referred to the leadership and then also the financial and performance management that wasn't in place. That was the last AG report. Now, taking this into consideration, I want to refer you to slide 10, where the one point that was raised there is print media should be legally compelled to support NDDA in cash or kind. With this in consideration, do you really think that someone would invest in an entity as the NDDA? If you take in consideration that the funds are not spent according to regulations, there's no, you cannot, the criteria for funding is weak, there's no history that really speaks of all your successes. So it's an insecure environment to, how can I put it, to invest in. That I just want to ask if the number of projects over the period that you mentioned that became sustainable, if it will be possible that you can provide us maybe with a list of these. There's another question that I would also like, but that maybe you can provide us later with that. I would also want a list of the projects that were strengthened, what these projects were, what were the startup money, and what were the amounts that strengthened them, and how sustainable are these projects now? Because it doesn't help you get a report on a year or two, but you don't really know what happened to the projects in the past. And that's what should actually give direction to what you want to achieve in the future. So it's if you only give this report on a 1 year for, I'm not sure how long it is, I'm not sure precisely, that's why I asked the question. For my benefit or for my peace of mind, I would want to know, if you compare it to previous projects, that's what should have been done, so that you can have a arrival point and know where you are going. Also, slide 11, that's my last question. I just want to ask if you can explain, the NDD Act should be reviewed to re-look at powers, roles and responsibility of board, the NDDA management. What do you actually propose? Thank you.
I'll come this way. But the impact that surely will assist us. As councillors or board members, understanding as to how MDDA assists communities, community media, because that's what we want. It's important to ask questions, but this document will also assist us when we deal with the investigation in MDDA. It exposes how they work so that we understand deeply, Mrs. Van Dyke. We understand deeply how MDDA works, because one of their responsibilities is to ensure that there is media diversity. How deep that is done, I mean, we understand as the committee on those issues. So that we differentiate between this session and the normal session of MDDA work when we oversee work that they do. So it assists us to have a deeper understanding of the impact of what they do. I wanted to raise that so that the line of discussion is informed by why did we ask this impact assessment? Different from the day-to-day work that they do as MDDA. We'll get to that at some stage, but now, if we can get to such issues, that will assist us. Comrade Matish.
Thanks, Chairperson. I had a number of points prepared that I actually wanted to raise with you in this meeting, but then most of those, almost, I must say, have been responded to here. Okay. I mean, as I'm saying, I can give you the paper here. But I want to say that, Chairperson, I think I understand what they put here before us. And the main problem basically lies with the portfolio committee, not with the MDDA itself. Their main problem, or problems, have been identified, mm-hmm. and we need to ensure that there is implementation mm-hmm. ourselves. For example, the finalization of the appointment of senior management. That has got to be actualized as a matter of agency. And I wish to believe that once that is done, and we need to come up with a very clear short program ourselves when we meet to say that by when shall we have done that. The only one thing that I want to check with them, I see on Rather, under introductory comments, you identify there, that's the second point, that some projects unwillingly to be interviewed, I mean, as you have written it. Eh? I link that to the second point under key findings, not the first, yeah, the first point, where you say through grant funding, MDDA has channeled resources to community and small commercial media sector and so on. So what I'm wanting to check with you is that are there no contracts at all that have been set so that one, these particular structures know that this is what they've got to do even before they get that kind of funding? Or secondly, are these structures simply saying whatever you are coming up with, that is in terms of your instructions, no, we cannot listen to you? I'm just wanting to check if you don't have any power at all, in line with the contractual strengths that are there that you ought to be following. Are they just saying, give us money, but then we don't listen to you, or what? I'm just wanting to check that. But then, apart from that, I think we have the findings, we understand that, at least from my position here, and your intended program of action. Again, ourselves, chairperson, we've got to ensure that that is actualized. But then if they kindly could respond just to that one, that'd be fine. Thank you.
Thank you. I think you are not in the question. Machaba?
Thank you, Chair. Let me welcome the report. Thank you very much for the report. I think today we woke up with a new minister. As our chairperson, I spoken about the new chair. I think this is in period of 10 months. We have 3 ministers that have been changed in this department. I will urge our department not to be affected about those changes, to make sure that the work of the department will not start somewhere or change somewhere. Mind you, Chair, I'm saying this because in page 8 in the key findings, there's a issue of MDDA has been written. The issue of MDDA, the challenges of senior managers post remain vacant. My question gets here, why those posts are not advertised? Is there any reason you can give us? How long those posts are still stuck in MDDA? To Chair, I want to know to MDDA how do we engage with ICASA in terms of the license of the community radio station? As we know that ICASA is saying all the time they don't have the spectrum. Do you have the list of the radio station, the applications of the community that is on pipeline to get the licenses? Is ICASA aware about those licenses? I mean those applications. What is your engagement in terms of engaging with ICASA in terms of giving those communities. Let me not go further, Chair. I do have other questions, but I don't want to be to repeat one question that is related to the question I already raised.
Okay. Those are the questions and today.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you to the honourable members for the questions. I'll try and answer a few of them, and if board members then want to chip in at the end, they'll do so. Let me start with the last question with regards to the applicants to ICASA. The way in which the Act is designed and how we work, we do not give funding to projects that do not have a license to broadcast. So specifically with regard to radio and TV here that go through ICASA. So therefore, the backlog with ICASA and its applicants, we are not privy to, but I think it's information that we can get. Once those projects get a license from ICASA, then they come to MDDA for funding. So they only come to us once they've received the license from ICASA. Those who have not received the license, we wouldn't know, but I think ICASA would have a list. And secondly, we also know that ICASA has currently a moratorium on applicants due to frequency issue. Another question which I would like to respond to, with regards to the comment in the research report that the press should be and those in the commercial industry bodies in print should be compelled to fund the MDDA, that just mirrors what the Act indicates with regards to the broadcaster. So briefly, I'll explain this because it's a learning opportunity. The Act indicates that with commercial broadcasters, there's a certain percentage of their profits that have to go to. Well, there are two ways in which they can comply. One, they comply by sending funds to ICASA, which funds actually just go straight back to the fiscus, or they send those funds to the MDDA as per the Act. If they send it to ICASA, then they write a letter which indicates that they've complied with their obligations, and that is that. The previous challenge with broadcasters and the MDDA is that the broadcasters have very little faith with the MDDA, and therefore paid their funds to ICASA and wrote letters in compliance. I came on board, and we have rerouted those funds from ICASA to MDDA quite successfully, which accounts for, in the last period, the large amount, the upsurge of funds, which were attracted back to the MDDA because of the broadcast community's faith in the MDDA in being able to disburse those funds. So the comment there is with regards to getting the print media to mirror what is done with broadcasting, because that is a legal issue, that is the Act, this is what they are supposed to do in terms of compliance. I might add, although that is not in the research report, that in the time of convergence, one also has to even look at the telcos. Companies which we use for cell phone usage with regards to this, because with convergence, broadcast no longer just uses frequency, but it also uses internet, etc. So they too could be brought into the fold in the Act for a certain percentage of those fees to be paid to MDDA in order to strengthen community media. So that is with regards to that. The question of the heated question with regards to senior posts not being filled. We have reported here before where CEO was interviewed and chosen for the MDDA. The CEO then later left for the public protector, and then the whole process had to be restarted again. Where we stand now is that we've had full interviews for the CEO with the assistance of the new board members that have joined the board, a list of all the names of the people that have been interviewed has been compiled. There is a short list, and we think then we will engage with the department. We know that it's the board's prerogative to appoint, but that matter has been really, with the appointment of new board members, has been sped up. We then hope that should we appoint the CEO in the immediate future, starting our new financial year with the CEO, they'll be able then to fast-check the process with regards to other appointments such as the CFO, etc. I have it on good authority that the acting CEO currently, Mr. William Maloy, is really working very hard with HR in filling all the other junior vacancies, which haven't been mentioned here, because they really have to deal with the operations and they have to do with delivery with regards to the MDA. When it comes to the question of projects refusing to be interviewed, we do have contracts with projects whenever they receive funding in terms of the obligations which they need to meet. But those obligations, if we look at the contracts, have largely to do with reporting, and they largely have to do with monitoring and assessment. This was a different research which does not fall generally within the scope of the contract. Now, in that regard, you just depend on goodwill. I made an example earlier on in trying to explain that when you deal with community media, you don't deal with just one voice. Us trying to, for instance, get accredited in community media to cover SONA and what happens in Parliament, and some community media projects wanted to be paid because they're not interested, their program, you know, runs differently. So they are quite independent in that regard. This, if I might add, also has to do with even our own logo in advertising. I mean, there's a contentious issue that if we fund a project such as print media, can we compel them in the front page or the back page or wherever to have the MDDA logo and it's written that they are funded by the MDDA? Goodwill, yes, but...
Can you also... I understand the employment of the CEO at the time, what is it? The assets that we
interview.
Yes. Media development and diversity agents. It talks to the broad transformation of media environment. I would like to listen to you talking about that. What contribution have you made in transforming media, because the big business media, and we talk here community media, what have we done in trying to change things in that space, in that environment of media? So as you respond, also give us that kind of response that this is what, as media development, we have tried to do in changing the play in that environment.
Thank you, Chair. The next issue, and I'll deal with this important intervention that the Chair has spoken about. Another issue, there was a question with regards to baseline. There isn't any baseline. The only real research that has been done by the MDA previously, which is flagship research, was on ownership, and that was in the media space, and that was many years ago. So we couldn't glean any other baseline research. We also would shy away from comparing as initial research. We shy away from comparing community media in South Africa and other countries in creating a baseline, because the landscape would distort the findings. So this is we have to start somewhere, and this is the beginning. In the absence of a baseline, we had to begin here in order to build from here. One of the key findings and the way forward is that a lot from this very research report, a lot of it points out us to further research. A board member has also indicated that we need to be quite scientific in our further research. But this is what this report does. It creates that opportunity for us to be pointed with regards to further research. We did point out that there was no baseline, and that is just a fact. With regards to the time frame, the time frame was between 2016 and 2017. Now, with regards to the media landscape, it's ever changing. You know, so one has to all the time always dip into the market to find out what is happening. What, you know, has happened in the previous years might not be true, given technology and its advancement, and given the landscape, as you can see, even in commercial media, a lot of retrenchments happen almost in regular cycles, as we speak. So research has to be constantly done in order to keep up with what is happening. To try and answer the chair's question with regards to media development and diversity and what the MDDA has done, I'll just go back to because we were talking about this research report. I could have views gleaned from my experience as a board member and acting chair and playing in the industry, but I'll limit it to what the research findings are. And key to those is that the first thing, which some would downplay but which is critical, is that through the MDDA's funding of community media, all indigenous languages, and indeed all languages that are in the Constitution, are represented in broadcast and in print. Should we just rely on commercial media to cover that landscape, there would be a huge gap. So in print, in the various provinces, and in broadcast, all indigenous languages are represented. Two, the ownership, when we speak about commercial media, we're dealing with people who you would know largely value their independence and protect it. So the MDDA is not in any position to change ownership patterns at a commercial level, except to comment in that regard where we feel that there are things which are contrary to the Constitution or the suppression of freedom of expression broadly. But we cannot tell them what to do. What we can do is increase ownership with regards to community media in order to counterbalance what is happening in the commercial space. This is quite a contentious issue. The commercial media would take us to task, in fact, to court if we were to do anything with regards to their ownership except to comment. So we need to strengthen the existing community media projects. We need to ensure that ownership, especially of previously disadvantaged individuals, is increased, and that is the focus of the MDDA. If you look at our project and our project profile, that is where the bulk of the projects of the MDDA are placed, where they are owned or run by previously disadvantaged individuals. I'm just going through my notes to see what other questions I could answer briefly. With regards to why the study wasn't triangulated within the communities, we engaged Media Monitoring Africa with regards to the methodology, and we found it rather weak, that we couldn't get that component. But we decided then that this is then upon us to initiate further research with regard to the actual impact that community media has in communities. So the research report was quite strong with regards to the impact of the MDDA in assisting community media, as opposed to the impact of community media in communities, which was the second leg. And that is something that we flagged as something that we need to deal with going forward, and we get it from the research that we had before us, which we wouldn't have got had we not commissioned this research.
You don't have to answer all questions,
there
are two more.
I will give them an opportunity, absolutely, because we are here as a team. However, you must, as they indicated, Chair, that this was commissioned at a different time. So they pointed it out that this has been helpful as a baseline, but some of the earlier discussions they might have not have been part of. But I'll allow them to deal with whatever questions that I have. No, thank you very much.
Okay. Any other? Any hand? Ma'am, Martina.
Thanks. Okay. I got a sense from the line of questioning that the committee would be interested to see how kind of the new board has been wrestling with some of the issues that have been raised by the PC on the performance of the institution. They'll do that in the context of this report. Just to say that this report, like I said earlier, was one of the initial presentations given to the new board as part of our induction process in November. So there was a two-day period where we listened and the service provider presented, and we asked some very hard questions as well. We've continued to ask hard questions because I think some of the things that are missing from our fingertips are statistics, information. I mean, I'm all for qualitative research, but I really also in this field need figures, numbers, stats, and trying to figure out what would go into a baseline that would be convincing is important. So for example, audience reach, the impact of community media collectively and regionally will start helping to inform decisions around, for example, the ICASA question of how many community radio stations can a local area absorb, and to what extent do you draw the line around sustainability issues versus social integration issues versus, what makes sense from the local economic development point of view. So we really need that information, those statistics, to inform decisions going forward. And we're very conscious that we're 3-4 years into a 5-year plan, and that whatever we do over the next 2 years will really be laying the foundation for a major impact in the sector to come. We've had at the beginning of the year very useful strategic planning, which involved a bit of stakeholder engagement. So we had ICASA there, we had the Competition Commission there, we had the SABC there, speaking about their editorial consultancy process. We've had engagements with Centex. So that kind of conversation around stakeholders and where legislative issues coincide or overlap or where the one entity's regulatory environment impacts one way or another on the MBDAs and vice versa. So we're starting to look at that, and I think the Department of Communications has also, from what I understand, started to facilitate the process around not just legislative review for MBDA but for all the entities. In terms of governance, we've started to relook at how the board subcommittees are working. particularly with regards to governance issues and tightening up on corporate services oversight, but then also very importantly funding. This funding model and the funding cycle and the funding policies, what informs decision making around which projects get money, which don't. Is the NBDA an advocate just for its direct beneficiaries or for the sector as a whole? You know, there's some interesting things that have happened. At the moment, the NBDA is going to be footing the bill for transmission costs, not just of our direct beneficiaries, but the sector as a whole, due to a transfer of funding from the Department of Communications to NBDA. So the board is engaging with all this information, eyes wide open, towards finding solutions and towards finding an approach. We've identified, for example, a sister organization that works in art and culture and is also a funding body, the National Film and Video Foundation, that's experienced very similar challenges to the NDDA in the sense that its budget was limited, its systems weren't entirely transparent at one point or another to the sector, and it had relationship problems with its community sector. Perhaps one of the reasons why some of the community media organizations aren't happy to be interviewed is because there is some level of irritation, anxiety, or just, you know, anger directed towards the NDDA because there's a lack of clarity around its role or its impact has been minimal. So we need to tighten those kinds of things up. We can't shy away from the problems. We have to look at them and find a way of dealing with them. But the funding project cycle and system is under huge review. And we've observed that the NFEF has gone through some of the process, and we'd like to start looking at cleaning up our systems in a similar way so that you don't create expectations that are unfounded. And then finally, on my side, just, I think once there's good governance in place and once there's proper legislation in place, I mean, the print and all the other sectors that we haven't tapped into for funding need to come on board. I mean, I understand the resistance of the print commercial space not to invest in an organization that seems unstable. I mean, that's no excuse for the print sector not to invest in diversity. And we'll make sure the tightening of legislation that there are no more loopholes like that. But at the same time, we need to do our part in managing a tight ship. So those are just my comments in addition to the chair.
Okay, chair. I think let me rectify something to you. I didn't say, maybe it's another question from another colleague, why you don't support the community radio support the money. I know you don't give them the money to those illegitimate programs. My question, in 2006, MBDA started actually the engagement with Guguletu Community Society, let me put it that way. And you stopped last year on April with that community engagement. What is the reason to stop that community engagement with Guguletu? Today we need just a valid reason so that the society can hear from you what is the valid reason to stop that community engagement with Google. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. Even though it's not in the research finding that we are presenting on, I can just briefly, as someone who has dealt with the social integration project with regards to Guguletu and Khayelitsha, we, as you remember, the last time we appeared as MDA had had certain challenges with executive authority in continuing with some of our duties. We are going to embark on we're going to restart all the other social integration projects. There's another social integration project, which is Esteras and Mamelodi, that we are dealing with. As we are dealing with it, we are also going to deal with Kukuletu and Kailisha as well. These are communities that need community media, and therefore will not shy away whatever the challenges on the ground might be. Thank you.
Members, if there is nothing, let's call it a day. Anything else? Elton
I'm not a member of the team chair, but I just need to understand from the administrative side what then is the decision on this report, so that when you go back, I have a clear mandate of what is it to be done next. Because there are a number of issues that are coming from MDGA, and there are a lot of questions that are coming, and I'm not sure whether any decision is made on what do we do with this report, so that when I go back, I have a clear mandate of what are the next steps to be done from the departmental point of view. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you. DG, we are not going to give you any mandate. I think, Chair, let's accept the report. And then let the committee deliberate on the report, and after that interact with the department. I think that will be the correct way to follow. We won't give mandates now here. Thank you.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, we wanted a report so that we, for gathering information purposes, have to ask you about Flanders, what do you want? what do you expect from the committee? Because you expect a decision of, that we agree with what is yet. What do you want to tell? Just to hear what you want.
Not okay. I agree only. Yeah, no, it's fine. We are there, but what does it expect?
No, I was referring to that summary that I got.
Thank you very much. We are done with this session. MDA, thank you very much.
Thank you for the opportunity. We thank all the honourable members.
Yes, thank you. If you want to leave, you can leave. But not in the session. Good, that's right.